Hello again, everybody. We welcome you to another episode of As Bill Ostendorf's World Turns, more formally known as the OFCCP Compliance Podcast, presented by Local Job Network. I'm your host, Tim Muma, and if you have listened to this podcast before, and yes, I know it's probably unlikely, we do look to break down the news and events surrounding OFCCP in a slightly more casual manner than our typical webinars or digest articles, however else you might be ingesting all the information from many people across the globe. And of course, to help keep things fast and loose, I'm once again joined by the previously mentioned Bill Ostendorf. Of course, he's the founder and president of HR Analytical Services. Bill, how are things in your world right now?
Oh, Tim, they're fantastic. And I just want to say it's been a long time. I've missed you, buddy. You know, Anyway, so it's a pleasure to be with you again, and I'm sure this will probably be the most interesting podcast that anyone could listen to under any circumstance.
I just wonder if people have you listened to every podcast now in the history of the world, because we've obviously had this downtime and can't go out and do much, and this might be our time to shine. Like they're left with nothing except the OFCCP Compliance Podcast.
I think it's a possibility that people will be super excited about this. Although I will tell you that I have gotten back to listening to a couple of my fantasy baseball podcasts recently because my league did actually reschedule its draft for sometime toward the end of June, thinking that the major league season is going to start. That was a good one.
Oh,
so we'll see what happens on that front.
Well, I have my fingers crossed, because as you know, as big of a fantasy baseball fan and baseball fan you are, I can't wait for any of that to get started. I hope it does, but it remains to be seen. In the meantime, we'll keep everyone's interests alive in OFCCP-related items. We did already quickly bang out an episode to try to cover all the news that has come out, you know, in the past few months, really, and we, of course, didn't get to all of it, so that's why we have a second edition here very quickly for all of you, trying to break it all down when it comes to OFCCP, EEOC, and all the rest of the alphabet soup that we get to talk about. So let's cover some more. How about we kick things off with an update on those veteran-focused reviews? I know people are still rather intrigued by just the focused reviews in general and what's going on with them. So let's start with the vets one. What do we know? Any updates from that?
Well, so here's what we know today. We know that there is a list out there, a corporate scheduling announcement list, or CSAL, as they're referred to, that says there's 500 organizations that will be going through a veteran-focused review. Unlike the other kinds of reviews that were announced back in March of 19, we're not really sure how many veteran-focused reviews are going on. Mm. I would have said that, you know, in the Midwest region, as far as I know, there are currently none. Now, we hear a few stories saying that there may be a couple of veteran-focused reviews going on in other parts of the country, but it does not appear that they're gearing up real fast, and that's because there's actually quite a bit of the other list from March of 19 that OCCP still has to get through. But as these veteran-focused reviews start, OCCP is finally putting up some resources that tell us things that will be asked about during the veteran-focused reviews and what people can expect. And one of the things that did happen, and we'll cover this in just a minute here, there actually is now a formal scheduling letter that OCCP has devised for the start of the veteran-focused reviews. So if you have one of those, if you have a name of your organization that's on that veteran-focused review list from November of 19, probably this is the time to start thinking about, you know, what are we going to do? How are we going to make sure that we can get OCCP what it needs? And what kind of resources are available to us to understand what that review is all about? I think it's high time, if you haven't looked at it already and you're on that list, it's good to go to OCCP's website, because they have some, I think, actually pretty effective FAQs there, along with some pretty decent resources that talk about what's going on and what you can do to make your veteran outreach more effective and what you can expect to provide to OCCP during the review. There's a number of interesting things in the FAQs. One of them actually relates to a topic that gets bounced around a lot. And OCCP, I thought, provided some helpful guidance in this FAQ, because it talks about the question, what's my obligation with this whole mandatory job listing thing? And we've, gone back and forth in different contexts about the question, what does it mean to do a job listing?
Right, but
Well, OCCP was nice enough in its latest FAQ to say that really, the language here of, job listing is not what's important. The important piece of this is to make sure that when you're sending your job to the relevant state agency, that you do it in a way that that agency accepts listings and can get the listing to the local veteran employment rep. So if that means that you're in a state where they only accept job listings through their website, that's how you got to do it. And if you're in a state where they only accept information via email, which I don't think is any state anymore, but that's how you would have to do it. And if they want you to hand walk it over to a veteran employment rep from your work site in a pink envelope with a ducky stamp on it, that's how you have to do it. I think, from what we know, almost all the states have gone to a web-based transferral system for doing their job listings. So I think that, one of the takeaways here from the FAQs is that if you're going to be ready for your veteran-focused review, it's time to make sure that you're doing a job posting that the way that the state would expect. The other things that are true here, we're living through interesting times, Tim. As opposed to a couple of months ago, where we would have talked about the fact that veteran unemployment rates were at a historic low, and not only historic low for veterans, but the veteran unemployment rate was way, way below the actual national average. At the moment, everybody's unemployment rate is skyrocketing. So, for the first time, if you're actually doing recruitment, OCCP is going to have, some legitimate cause to say, what are you doing to recruit veterans along with recruiting other people?
Right.
So, in preparing for veteran focus reviews, look at those FAQs, look at the resources on the website. Think about how you're going to recruit veterans because OCCP is going to have some expectations there. And understand that, it may be a while before OCCP gets to these veteran reviews in earnest. But they're going to get there here in the next, 6, 8 months, and you want to know what that's all about.
Yeah, it will definitely, as you said, the landscape definitely changed quickly, obviously, for everybody for different reasons and impacting this area as well. Quick note, if I recall correctly, in that OFCCP little presentation, they did mention Local Job Network is doing it the right way as far as those mandatory job listings go and having screenshots. So just a little shout out to our team there for being on top of that.
That's a huge positive, Tim. And I as much as it's fun to just sort of mention that, I do think, the fact of the matter is that, keeping the information the way that you've been able to keep it and making sure that, when you're getting information to the states, that you get it to them in the way that they expect, that's what contractors need to demand either from their HR people, from whoever they're using as a resource. And if you're doing it the right way, that makes a big difference. So well done.
Well, I didn't do anything, but yes, pat on the back to all of our team over here at Local Job Network. That was cool to hear and to see. And as you can attest to with all the work you've done, anytime somebody gives you a little shout out like that, you can definitely appreciate what they're offering there for you. Of course, we were talking about the veterans focus review, and then we have the disability focus reviews, which there have been plenty of those conducted. What have you been hearing, seeing, anything in details that you've found out about the disability focus reviews in particular?
Yeah, I think it's been interesting what's been going on with those. Obviously those started in earnest here this year, which means that one of the key pieces of those disability focus reviews was going to be an on-site. OCCP had expected to physically visit various companies and do interviews in person and look at posters and wander around the building and just generally make themselves a hazard of some kind. I know this comes as a big surprise, but OCCP is not conducting on-sites per se at the moment. They are not going out to see people, and instead, they are doing virtual on-sites. So OVCCP doing a lot of things over the phone. They are still actually doing a variety of things that they would have done during an actual on-site, but they're doing it through some kind of electronic means.
Right.
One thing that I think, you know, is really critical for organizations that are going to have a disability review that either it's open currently or that's going to open, you need to know that OCCP is going to interview some of your employees. And they're going to be interested in what your employees know about, you know, the ability to request accommodation, about any issues that your employees may have had in regard to disabilities they have, whether your employees have been provided with the opportunity to self-identify, some really basic things like that. And OCCP has the right to do those interviews, and they have the right to do interviews with employees without anybody else present in the room. So don't expect, as an HR manager, as a consultant, as a vendor, as a lawyer, that you're going to be sitting in during those reviews. It's going to be OCCP and your employees.
Right.
So this is probably an excellent time to start to give those employees huge bonuses, I guess, and tell them how valued they are, really are, because you want them to be happy if they're going to go through these reviews. Now, the bottom line is really the kind of questions that OCCP asks are not unreasonable, but employees will be asked to sit with OCCP and only with a representative from OCCP.
Sure.
Another thing I think, you know, that we want to point to is that OCCP was nice enough to provide a focused review on-site guide on its website. If no one has had a chance to look at that yet, well, someone must have looked at it. I mean, I looked at it. Tim, you looked at it a couple times, didn't you?
Yep, definitely. Yep.
Yeah. It's reading. You kept it by your bed to read it, you know, to the kids and to make it available to friends and family, I assume, right?
Hey, we're always looking for good content in the times we're in. So I've had stacks and stacks of things to look over from OFCCP and the like. So we're all good there.
I totally understand. Totally understand. So those of you who are going to, boy, this is a scary podcast. So the fact of the matter is that the organizations they're going to go through or are going through a disability focused review, please look at that on-site guide, because it will give you a huge leg up as to what you can expect. And that will include things like there will be an entrance conference with somebody who is identified as the person who is in charge of whatever facility OCCP is looking at. And that can often be the most dangerous part of this whole process, because, you know, there are some, you know, general managers, presidents and CEOs who are very much on top of these things. And there are some folks who are very much likely to say things where the HR folks walk out of the room afterwards and say, I need to find a new job now. So it's always good. Get those people heavily prepped for the entrance conference. That is a very useful thing you can do. It's interesting that the on-site guide talks about a facility inspection, and OCCP is sort of kind of doing a facility inspection, but they're doing that by actually asking for photographs of things.
Oh, okay.
So, for example, they want to know that you're posting the EEO as the law poster, so they're going to want a photo. So, you know, get out your iPhone and send them a photo of the EEO as the law poster. I would recommend not using one of those cute filters with the puppies or the ducks or whatever that go on. But that's up to you. You know, if that'll help enhance your photos, maybe it's a possibility. OVCCP, I think you can count on the fact that during a focus review, they are going to ask questions about policies like, what do you do when you have a person with a disability requesting accommodation? So that's something that people should be prepared for. We have seen that, I think, in every one of the on-sites that we've been involved in. There really has been a lot of focus on the question, how do you do accommodation? Is there a formal policy? How do you actually implement that policy? You know, do you always do it in a formal way, or are there informal roads to get accommodation? So those are things it's important to be ready for.
Sure.
I guess I'd have to say, one of the interesting things that we've seen so far is that OCCP, when it started first talking about the on-sites for disability here, they were talking about doing on-sites that would last for 3 and 4 and 5 days. Generally, what we're seeing is these virtual on-sites are lasting a day.
Okay.
So it's not as if OCCP is, spending hours and hours and hours and hours digging into things. They're certainly doing interviews. They're looking at some of the things that are important questions here, but they're not overextending their welcome, or at least not overextending it more than a day.
Well, that is interesting because obviously, with the focus reviews, that was part of the goal was to shorten all these, types of audits up as best they could, so they could get to more and be more efficient with it. And I guess at least thanks to technology, despite all the COVID stuff going on, they've been able to do that for the most part. And I guess it will remain to be seen what they ended up doing when all this opens up, and if they do want to go back to at least doing the on-sites. But as you said, even if that was the case, they were going to try to keep it to just a handful of days, and I'm sure the employers appreciate that as well.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. That it's interesting that the focus reviews were supposed to be a shorter version review. For a while, it was actually looking like they were going to be a longer version
Right,
review,
right.
and now they're going back to the original idea that we want to make these sort of short, compact, truly focused on one thing. So that's positive.
Yeah, for sure, definitely. Another area of interest, I guess, the announcement came back in April. OFCCP had their, and as you put it, quote unquote, revised scheduling letters approved. I'm thinking the revised in quotes is because maybe there wasn't a whole lot that was new when it was all said and done. Am I on the right path as far as your use of the quotation marks there?
You are exactly right, as always.
Oh, thank you.
Tim, I don't know why you invited me for this podcast. You could do this thing, clearly, you're set to go by yourself. And then you won't have to deal with me and my combination of terrible jokes and, long-winded explanations.
You know,
But
there's a comfort to your jokes that it makes me feel like there's a sense of normalcy, and that's why I appreciate you having me on, so.
well, I feel good about myself again, so I'm sorry, I have to wipe away a tear, and we've done that already. Okay, right. So the scheduling letter piece of things, Tim, I can't actually even believe the number of things that have happened in the last couple of months, because
Yeah.
you would think that during this whole COVID thing, OCCP, they'd be sitting back on their hands and saying, we can't release anything new. We gotta basically, leave people alone and do what little, we can to make sure that people can continue to do, their normal stuff. Guess again, OCCP has a lot of things that are going on, one of which is they finally got their scheduling letters released. Some of you may know that OCCP's scheduling letter for traditional reviews expired in late 2019, and the agency has had to just sort of month by month update that letter, waiting for OMB, the Office of Management and Budget, to approve a new letter. Well, the new letter's been approved. And the new letter it's sort of like the song, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. There are tiny variations in language in a couple places in the revised scheduling letter for traditional reviews. It is not, there's not enough changes to really spend much time talking about. The disability scheduling letter, sort of the same song. It's changed a little bit, but only because OCCP eliminated a few of the things that seemed superfluous in the original disability focus review scheduling letter. The thing that they did not have at all previously, before these scheduling letters were released, was a scheduling letter for the veteran focus review. That is now available. In what was, I think, the least surprising action that we've ever seen, OACCP has a veterans scheduling letter that looks almost identical to the disability scheduling letter.
Sure.
So all in all, the least surprising set of actions that probably ever occurred here, with this one caveat. OACCP had put through, in its initial format, some very, very foundational changes to these letters, And OMB said to OCCP, no, we're not doing any of this. Thank you, but no thank you. So OCCP, back to its original scheduling letters, that's a happy thing for all of us, because those initial revisions that they're talking about, those were not going to be fun.
Right.
So happy news for federal contractors. Well, OCCP does have its letters, and maybe that's not happy in the sense that, they actually have a letter they can use again. At least it's the same old letter that we've been used to for quite a few years here.
Yeah, now that you mention that, I do recall having those conversations of I don't want to say contractors freaking out, but I mean having some major issues with some of those suggestions that were kind of coming down the pipeline.
It had the possibility to be disastrous, to be frank. There were some things in the proposed versions of those scheduling
Right.
letters where really, it could have been hugely, hugely burdensome to federal contractors and subcontractors if those had gone through. And there were a lot of pieces that people objected to very strongly. And I think there's just a combination of political things that affected the final versions of the letters, one of which is OCCP finally said, we need letters. We need to have these things approved.
Sure.
So let's just go back to the old letters. The other piece of it is that the Office of Management and Budget, I think, is starting to say at this point, it's not unusual at this point in a presidential administration to say, we don't want a lot of change. We're looking at an election coming up here. We're looking at streamlining some things. We don't have time to implement some kind of huge change to policy or practice. So we're not going to have this whole wholesale change go through. Let's just go back to what we had. That seemed to be working. Let's stick with it.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. And as you said, lots of relief over, especially that portion of it, is as far as the scheduling letters mostly remaining the same. Bill, you're probably not going to believe it, but we're pretty much out of time. I know we had another topic here listed, trying to talk about the new directives, especially the latest three on compliance evaluations, specifically being more efficient with those, the mediation program. And then the Ombuds service, some details there as well.
The 30-second version of that, Tim,
All
is
right.
that these new directives really, they're very much revolving around the CERT initiative, certainty, efficiency, transparency, and recognition. They go directly to that. So we can talk about them some other time. There's a couple of interesting things in at least one of these directives. So a little tease for our next podcast. Oh my, it's
Oh,
going
look
to be
at you.
great.
Look at you. You're turning into a regular a podcaster here. You're even teasing people, trying to make sure they tune in next time. I love it.
We want the four people who are listening to this podcast to come back, Tim. So, I want to give them a little taste of something that's going to be so exciting that they might actually want to bring their friends and family if they have either. I'm afraid we might be just talking to people who are sitting in their basement and playing video games. But in any case, lots of exciting stuff to talk about. Looking forward to getting into that next time.
Yes, agreed. So, hopefully, if you are listening to this, you'll want to tune in as we get into a little more detail of those directives, as well as maybe touching on the subject of promotion, an adjusted or an improved focus on promotions when it comes to OFCCP and the like. So, with that, let's close it out. Bill Ostendorf, founder, president of HR Analytical Services. Bill, thank you once again for joining us from wherever you are. I'm sure we'll see eye to eye someday once again, but for now, we'll stay in our own corners and make it work that way.
Tim, thank you. A huge pleasure. Good to be with you as always. Stay safe.
All right, once again, for everyone here at Local Job Network, this has been the OFCCP Compliance Podcast. I'm Tim Muma. We are joined by Bill Ostendorf once again, and we do hope that we will catch you again next time. Take care, everybody.